In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hello, this is Pastor John, and I am thrilled to be joining with you this morning on a very important topic, the topic of prayer. This is going to be a series, and we've titled it Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. And this is based on a book I recently published that you can get at the website reflectthegloryofgodinprayer.com, if that's easy to remember, or just go to amazon.com and just type in reflect. And you can put in my last name, Fallahe, F-A-L-L-A-H-E-E, and you can find it there online. We've got a print book, a Kindle ebook, as well as an audio book. If you prefer any of those formats, they're all available. Now, the reason we're going to be sharing this topic over the next few weeks is prayer is critical for the Christian walk. It is akin to breathing, and no more can we live without air then can we walk the Christian walk without prayer. And the genesis of this book really started years ago. To give you some background, I was in seminary, and it was the spring of 2001. It was my second semester in seminary, and I had this prayer class. Now, imagine about 50 seminary men, and it's a 16-week class, and we're being taught by this professor, James Roskup, who is a godly man, a prayer warrior, who has dedicated his life to writing on this particular topic. And he had just finished his magnum opus. It was an exposition of prayer of every prayer in the Bible. It's like 3,000 pages. And he was our professor. So we were pretty excited about this class and becoming prayer warriors. But let me tell you, at the end of that first week, all of us were upset. We were frustrated. All that we had to do was pray 1 hour a day. And by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we were running out of things to pray. We were frustrated with our inability to consistently pray a mere hour a day. Now, part of the responsibility and the homework was to keep a prayer journal as well. Well, by the end of the week, like I said, we were all pretty frustrated, and we thought this was impossible. In fact, one gentleman in the class felt that this was legalistic, forcing us to pray. But at the end of the day, we realized this was an important discipline, and what it revealed was how difficult praying consistently really is. And this class that I took in seminary really opened my eyes to not only the importance of prayer, but how it is a daily discipline, and it takes time to build up that strength, that energy, that perseverance to continue in it. Well, nevertheless, the class continued, and by the end of the semester, we had all become pretty disciplined. We were able to pray faithfully every day for an hour, keep our journals. We learned to listen to others and write down prayer requests and fill our hour up. We also discovered that during that hour of prayer, there was more things you could do. We would sing songs. We would read scripture. And it changed the whole dynamic for me in my own personal prayer walk. And so I want to encourage you not to just think about prayer in a very narrow sense of just you praying to God, but expand upon that. Pray, sing, read scriptures, take care of other people's prayer requests. And also, another thing we learned was that prayer didn't just have to be a dedicated time. It can be throughout the day. For some of you, the life that you live, you may be able to have that separate, solitary time with the Lord. And that's a good thing. We all need that. But don't forget, there's time in the car, there's driving home, or just late at night as you're meditating. There is a variety of times and places where you can go before the Lord. So my hope through this series is to open your eyes to this topic of prayer, to help you become a better prayer warrior and to grow in prayer. Now, the book is titled, as I said earlier, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. And there are several chapters. In fact, let me read those just so you kind of get a feel where we're going. So the first seven chapters represent the first seven steps of prayer, or the seven steps of prayer. And the title Reflect is actually an acronym for each of the steps. Now, you're probably thinking, Hey, Pastor John, I'm familiar with some other prayer acronyms like ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. I can barely remember those four letters. You're asking me to remember seven, and I would say, yes, I know that we don't need another acronym. But nevertheless, that's the one I want to run with. So let's walk you through each of the letters, and that'll give you the table of contents or the chapters and also the title for each one of the series. So the first one is R for reflect, and that's remember the glories of God. And we'll come back and explain each one of these in much more detail. Then the letter E, examine your motives and manner. The letter F, face life with scriptures. L, love God and love people. E, expect suffering and persecution. C, concern yourself with the kingdom or concern yourself with God's kingdom. And number seven, take every opportunity. So that's the title, Reflect, the acronym broken down into seven key steps. Now, for what it's worth, we have several appendices in the book as well. For example, Jesus' seven principles of prayer, the Lord's disciples' prayer, the names of God, 12 categories of prayer, prayer journals, prayer discipleship, a prayer class, the intercessors, and people needing prayer. And all these are additional information, tips, and helps to grow not only your ability to pray more effectively, but also help you help your church become more focused in prayer. So let's get started with the first step one, remember the glories of God. Let me read you from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That was King David writing in Psalm 103, and we just read the first five verses of that amazing psalm. Now, when we think about prayer, prayer is like entering the throne room of God. But I want you to see prayer from God's perspective. And let's take a little journey to the throne room of God, a future time. Now, in the book of Revelation, I don't know if you recall this from Revelation 8, but there's this amazing scene. Let me read it to you from Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Now, this is an amazing scene because here in heaven, revealed in the book of Revelation, we have this incredible scene, and the prayers of the saints are visibly manifesting as smoke on this golden altar. And I wonder if there's angels who are up in heaven, and if there's days when there's a lot of smoke, and then there's days with maybe lesser smoke. And I wonder if the angels wonder, what is going on down there? Why aren't the people of God praying? You know, this scene has an earthly counterpart. I don't know if you knew that, but you might remember from Luke, before John the Baptist was born, his father had gone into the temple. Let me read that passage for you. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. So it was that while John the Baptist's dad was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So we have this earthly picture that God gave Israel, this praying and these incense and this altar, and we have its counterpart up in heaven. And all of this is to help us remember how important prayer is, but also how important it is from the perspective of God for us to be praying. And our prayers go before the throne, and even the angels can see, in a sense, what's going on, even based on the smoke of the incense. And I love the passage from Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as an incense. Prayer begins with acknowledging God. And this is the point of this first step. Remember the glories of God. See, your prayer is a sweet incense to the nostrils of God. And when we don't pray, we are telling God we don't need him. We're telling God that we are self-sufficient. And that is a very deceptive thought, because we are not self-sufficient. We are totally dependent upon the Spirit of God, upon the Word of God, upon the power of God for our life and breath. And prayer is a great way to commune with the Lord. But the reason I titled the first step, Remember the Glories of God, is as I was studying all the prayers of the Bible, this theme reoccurred over and over and over, that most prayers of the Bible truly begin with not focus on self, but focus on God himself. And so it makes sense that when we enter into the prayer closet, that we turn all our focus, all our attention upon him. But the question is, what do you know about God? Are you able to recall his great works? Are you able to recall the great truths about who he is and what he's done? What does your mind remember from reading the scriptures about the things that God has done and what God will do? See, this is how we want to begin our prayer, with communion, with adoration, with a love for who he is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Because we could limit our prayers because we have a limited knowledge of God, because we're not cultivating in our life a desire to know him and know him well. I mean, think about, for those of you who are married or in a family, you've come to know your spouse, your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad over time. You know their favorite likes. You know the things that they dislike. You know their habits. You know many things that you could probably predict where they're going to go in a particular day and what they're going to do. And even sometimes, you know what they're going to say. That's the kind of intimacy we need to have with our great Heavenly Father. We should know how he thinks because he's revealed it to us in his word. We should know what he expects when we act a certain way and what he would say to us based on his word. And so if you want to grow in prayer, if you want to deepen your prayer time with the Lord, you have to learn and study who he is, what pleases him. Let me give you some examples from scripture of individuals who desire these things. Let's talk about Moses. Moses knew God. Moses worshiped God and desired to know God more intimately. Remember in Exodus 33, verse 18, he said, "Please show me your glory." What an astonishing request. And you remember how God put him in the cleft of the rock, and then God showed his backside. And then he came by, and we hear this amazing truth. And the Lord passed before him, proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Do you desire to know God more intimately like Moses? Do you want God to show you his glory? This is a great way to begin with prayer. Tune in next time, and we will continue to study this amazing topic, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.